Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com. In just a moment, we'll hear from Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. Baseball is stopped for the Cardinals. The baseball talk, though, all year long. On a separate note, I will be at Hot Shots tonight in St. Charles. Bernie Federko, the Blues Hall of Famer, will be my guest, and I hope you come on by. He's got a brand new book out. He worked with Jeremy Rutherford on this book, and it's about his hockey life, his Blues life. Bernie Federko, from 7 to 8, will be taping a live podcast, live Scoops podcast at the St. Charles Hot Shots. Hope you can join us. This is brought to you by Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill, Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, Schnucks, think local, think Schnucks, and by Hair Salon for Men. Hair Salon for Men gives you the perfect haircut, keeps client notes on each customer like myself or my two boys, and you can be assured that they know what you want. They'll do that in the privacy of your own cutting station. We walk in, they know exactly what I want and what my boys want. This is what we get. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all that for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage or neck shave. Lots to get into, and by the way, that is Hair Salon for Men. Lots to get into with our visit with Brian Walton. Arizona Fall League going on. He had an interesting piece on Adam Wainwright and a look at what players do in the offseason. All coming up on this edition of the Baseball Report Offseason on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
I've said it once. I've said it a million times this summer. Brian Walton does an incredible job covering the St. Louis Cardinals, in particular the minor league system, but also what's happening year-round with your favorite team, the St. Louis Cardinals, and he does that on his website, thecardinalnation.com. Brian, let's start with some of the news this past week for the St. Louis Cardinals, and I loved your article and the picture that you posted on Twitter with a young Adam Wainwright, but he'll be back for his 15th season. You've written about this before. You've talked about it many, many times. Just your impressions of the trade back then, what it's meant, and now coming back for yet another season with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, certainly at the time there were those who were down on J.D. Drew because he, while he was a very good player, was often injured, didn't seem to be able to answer the bell for 140 or 150 games a year. But still, you know, a lot of concern about trading a productive star major leaguer in a package for a guy who at the time was a double-A pitcher in Adam Wainwright. And, of course, that was a great move made by Walt Jocketty to bring Adam Wainwright to the Cardinals organization. And, you know, he's had a tremendous career. Unfortunately, much as Chris Carpenter's career will be looked back, you know, one will say, gee, you know, what could he have been had he been able to be healthy for his entire career? He would have more than 140 or 150 wins. He might have 200 and maybe, you know, be in a Hall of Fame consideration where, as it is right now, you know, he's going to fall short. Wainwright will, just like Chris Carpenter did, you know, in his first year on the ballot. He only got a couple votes and dropped off. But, you know, Wainwright returning for the Cardinals for 2019 makes a lot of sense. You want to see a guy who, you know, has been meant so much to the franchise to finish there. And the question in my mind is, you know, what is his role really going to be and how will he be handled next year?
What do you think? I'm kind of torn on this because, and I wrote about it today on the website. I think you let him begin the season in spring training as a starter. And I just want to get your thoughts on this. If it doesn't work out, he goes to the bullpen. It's a low-risk, high-reward, incentive-based deal. And so you got a highly motivated player, which I don't think you ever have to worry about with Wainwright anyway. And with one of the youngest staffs in baseball, you get a guy that's kind of a secondary coach and a leader of this team. So to me, it really is not that big a deal to bring him back in terms of what I think some fans look at it and say, well, how could you spend that kind of money? To me, it's no big deal, and it's, in a way, kind of a no-brainer.
The immediate concern I have is the 40-man roster and the fact that Wainwright takes a spot now that would be used potentially to protect a minor leaguer from the Rule 5 draft. If I had my druthers, in timing-wise, I would have waited. I would have got some kind of agreement with Wainwright, but not executed it until December. and use that 40-man roster spot with somebody else. Now, granted, you know, come December, Wainwright would still need a 40-man spot, so that would only be a short-term move. I think the bigger question for 2019 is, you know, Wainwright's ability to lead and mentor is somewhat compromised when he's struggling as a pitcher, because his focus is then on how do I get myself right? How do I get myself ready? And that's really where he's been for most of since 2014. At different, you know, he'll have short bursts where he'll, you know, be productive for a while, and then some, you know, an injury will pop up, something will happen. So, but I think that the, you know, the biggest concern I have is that, yeah, he'll come to spring training as a starter. I got that. He'll be in the rotation. He'll have to pitch himself out of the rotation. And let's face it, if Wainwright's healthy coming out of spring camp, he'll be in the rotation. Then it's going to get down to when sentiment will end and practicality will begin. And what I mean by that is, if Wainwright struggles in a given game, is he going to get a longer leash than a young pitcher who doesn't have the kind of track record? And we've seen with Mike Schilt, he's not hesitant to take a starter out before a game gets out of control. You know, will that happen with Adam Wainwright? And more importantly, not just in a given game, but over a period of time, if it gets to the point where Adam Wainwright is not one of the best five starters in the St. Louis Cardinals, will they have the guts to make the tough decision to say, Adam, you're not starting anymore, you're going to the bullpen? Because you know he's going to say, hey, I'm just, you know, one more outing around from turning the corner. I've figured out I was tipping pitches, or I've figured out, you know, my arm angle, or whatever it is. You know, he's not necessarily, you know, he's so relentlessly positive, he hasn't necessarily been forthcoming always about when he's struggling. And so I worry that the Cardinals may get in a situation where Adam ends up hurting the team in a way because they're not able to make that move to the bullpen as soon as maybe it might be necessary. And I realize this is, you know, looking at the glass half empty, not the glass half full, but, you know, the last time Adam was really productive was a long time ago, and, you know, you got to be realistic. He's had three stints on the DL last year.
Yeah, it's a fair point. You made me think of something that I wrote about at the website, and I'm curious in your take with this. As I watch postseason play, and you were talking about if Wainwright goes longer or doesn't, you know, do you keep him in? But I'm thinking big picture, and this is what I wrote about. I said that I think that you may see a trend where teams are going to be forced to use starters going longer in postseason play. And what we're seeing right now, and it doesn't matter with any of the four teams that we're talking about, managers have a quick hook, and they have a quick hook on some of the biggest names in the sport because that's what analytics will tell you to do in sabermetrics. I'm just not buying into it anymore. I see it. I understand it. I think there's times that you do it, but I also think there's times that you have to push your starter to give the bullpen some time to recoup. And I think Milwaukee, we saw that over the weekend. I think we saw it at the end of the season with the Cardinals. And so my point is, Brian, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm curious as a guy that studies this day in and day out, if we see a trend that you'll see some starters going deeper just because there are not enough arms to cover the innings in postseason play in which every inning is high leverage.
You know, it's an interesting situation because, I mean, we saw Wade Miley was just, you know, mowing down the Dodgers. I mean, he was really in great shape. He was a low pitch count, I don't know, in the 70s or 80s, I guess. And, you know, they took him out of the game, and, you know, before you could bat an eye almost, the bullpen let the game get away. And,
exactly.
You know, their huge bullpen weapon, while their bullpen's been good across the board, their key weapon is Josh Hader, and Hader was unavailable because he threw three innings and I had four. So, you know, yeah, you're right. Still, I mean, except in September, there's only 25 guys on the roster. And so, you know, it's one thing to do this bullpenning early in the year, you know, and it's one thing to be able to continue to bring guys up to the minor leagues if they're good enough. But, you know, over the course of 162 games, and then by the time you get to October, you know, who do you have that's fresh and that's able to go deep? I mean, your proven guys are your starters. They're your best pitchers. No matter how you look at it, the best pitchers on a team are typically the starters. The guys that are in the bullpen because they couldn't make it as starters. That doesn't mean they're bad players, but your best guys are the guys you give the ball to pitch every fifth day.
And I think you can get away with it to an extent in September when you expand the rosters and there's more arms and, you know, blowouts are covered or big leads one way or another. But in high leverage situations, I don't know. I think there may be a trend where you have to step back and look at it, especially the last couple of years, and say, I'm not sure this is the blueprint for success. Now, I've been doing a bunch of charity events here in St. Louis, and it may surprise you, it may not. One of the most commonly asked questions I get from fans, it's not about Wainwright coming back. It's not about Mike Shildt. It's not about, will Dexter Fowler be a good player again? The most commonly asked question I get, and fans are concerned about it, is Stubby Clapp. They want to know, is he going to be a Cardinal in some form or fashion next year? So what is the latest as you scour the minor leagues and hear from your counterparts? What are you hearing about Stubby Clapp?
Well, first of all, before I provide the specific comment about Stubby Clapp, I want to make a general statement. And that is, for whatever reason, and I get that Stubby Clapp has been successful. He has. And I'm not going to, you know, beat around the bush. When my article goes up naming the Cardinals minor league manager of the year, it's going to be Stubby Clapp, because what they did with a depleted Memphis roster in the playoffs was spectacular this year. So let me put that aside. I'm very high on Stubby Clapp. But if you look at the Cardinals versus other organizations, and this is something that I was always kind of critical of the La Russa regime was, he never brought in fresh blood. He never groomed young guys. Other than Jim Leyland, I mean, how many future major league manager stars did Tony La Russa ever breed? You know, there weren't any. He had the same guys around him year after year after year after year. Whereas other organizations, you see them bring in young guys and they become real, you know, good candidates for managerial jobs. Take the Cubs. I mean, Dave Martinez was Madden's bench coach. He's now managing the Washington Nationals. A young guy named Brandon Hyde, who a lot of folks haven't heard of, is a hot managerial candidate. He's interviewed with both the Rangers and the Angels. He's Joe Madden's current bench coach. So, you know, guys that are, you know, in the major leagues and they're working with these high-level, you know, good managers on good teams, you know, get the opportunities to further their career and become major league managers. So why do people not want to see Stubby Clapp get the opportunity to realize his career-long dream to become a major league manager? And obviously that's not going to be in St. Louis. Now, great, if he goes somewhere else and he's just a first base coach or a third base coach, sure, then the Cardinals should have, you know, made that offer to keep him. But if he can go to the Toronto Blue Jays and become their manager, gosh, let's wish the guy well. Let's shake his hand. Let's applaud him for a job well done.
And I agree with you. And I wonder if the Cardinals, and we'll find out more as the postseason goes on and as the offseason goes on, if there is a plan. You know, they're not going to stop him from getting a managerial job. But if there's a position on the staff of the Major League club, you know, certainly you would think Stubby Clapp would be up in St. Louis. Now,
absolutely. And then, you know, one of the things we've heard some rumors about, I think maybe it was from somebody from the Post-Dispatch wrote that, you know, there's a possibility that, you know, Kendall might not come back. He's considering, you know, what his future is going to be. So for example, you know, if the third base coach job was open, you know, that would be the kind of thing, yeah, you could offer to Stubby Clapp and it would be a step up. It wouldn't be as far a step up as managerial job, but it would be a job in the big leagues. In terms of his situation with Toronto, there's been kind of mixed messages out of Toronto. One of the beat writers up there, I've been following it pretty closely, mentioned late last week that the Jays had done phone interviews with a number of candidates, and they were now preparing a list for their in-person interviews, so kind of round two. But the very next day, the same beat writer from Toronto, ran an interview with Stubby, and Stubby said, I haven't heard anything from Toronto. It's all rumors. So, you know, if you took those two pieces at face value, you'd say, gee, maybe he's not, you know, in the round, or maybe it was just a timing thing. Don't know. But the point is, Stubby Clapp's advantages in Toronto is twofold. One is he's Canadian, obviously. The other is he's worked for the Jays. But you haven't heard his name come up with the Rangers or the Angels or other openings. So it's sort of like the whole Gary Larocque general manager thing in New York. You know, there's a unique situation with that individual and that organization that really, you know, makes them a good candidate there, but they may or may not be as competitive a candidate elsewhere.
Yeah, I should have mentioned this before we started this podcast. What have you heard about Gary and maybe reuniting with the Mets?
Well, he's he apparently, and all indications are that he's on the short list of candidates. Now, they've got a diverse, you know, set of candidates that they've interviewed, from Doug Melvin, who's a former GM, who's more Gary's age, you know, in his 60s, you know, wide variety of experiences, to a guy named Kyle Bloom, who's the assistant general manager in Tampa Bay, 35 years old, and is, you know, more of the Michael Gersh, you know, young buck type of guy that doesn't have the type, you know, the life experience in baseball that a Gary LaRocque does. But there's a lot of question, too, about where the decision-making is going to occur in New York. Is it going to be Jeff Wilpon, the CEO of the team? Is it going to be his dad, Fred, who's the CEO, who reportedly, you know, admires Gary a lot from his days in the, you know, working in the Mets organization as their scouting director, among other jobs? You know, so it's really unclear what kind of timetable they're under, you know, how the Mets are going to make the decision. But as of right now, you know, Gary LaRocque is right there in the mix.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here. Big things are happening at Schnucks, especially in October. This month, you'll start to see Schnucks stores popping up all over the city. Living in St. Louis, you know Schnucks is committed to the communities they serve. Now, there will be 19 new Schnucks stores in neighborhoods all around town. You'll also notice that prices are falling and your points will be piling up with the Schnucks Rewards app. So check out a new store near you. Come say hello. Visit Schnucks.com for the full list of new stores. See you at Schnucks. Final thought. Here we mentioned Stubby Clapp. He is managing in the Arizona Fall League. How about some updates on some of the players and what they're doing right now out in Arizona?
Yeah, they've had the first partial week. They started last Tuesday, so they played four games through the end of the week, and the Cardinals have eight players out there. Everybody got in games. There's a designation that each team gets to get to provide for a position player. It's called priority player. And what that means is the priority player for each organization gets to play most days, usually 4 out of 5 days, some 4 out of 6, something like that. And based on usage so far, it appears that Lane Thomas, the outfielder, is that priority player for the Cardinals because he played in all four initial games. He's not off to a great start. He's stolen a couple bases, and he drove in a run, but he's only 2 for 12. So, you know, he's got some work ahead of him. Tommy Edman, the shortstop, played in one game, went 2 for 4, nice start. Andy Young, the second baseman, 3 for 8, again, nice start, a couple RBI. So, you know, some good things going on there. Catcher Jeremy Martinez, 1 for 8, but, you know, Jeremy Martinez has never been a great hitter. He's more about, you know, defending behind the plate. On the pitching side, Evan Krasinski made a start. And it was a rough one. The 5 runs scored in 2 1/3 innings against him, but he was victimized by bad defense, including a bad throw on his own part, bad pickoff throw. And he gave up 5 runs in 2 1/3 innings, but they were all unearned. Connor Jones threw a couple of scoreless innings, so that's good. Will Latcham, however, and who's the other reliever? Connor Green. Will Latcham and Connor Green each gave up 2 runs in their first outing. So, you know, they're off to a slow start. But, you know, obviously we're talking about just one appearance for all those pitchers so far in the Arizona Fall League, and there's still 5 weeks of play to go.
Brian, I mentioned that the Cardinal Nation does not stop. What are you working on this week?
Well, we're working on the final decisions on the starting pitcher of the year, the player of the year, the manager of the year, and then we'll go into our awards for the Major League St. Louis Cardinals. And we'll have a comprehensive recap of the Major League season. It'll be somewhere in the 3,000 words for those who want to, you know, relive what happened with St. Louis. We'll go through it month by month by month.
Thanks, Brian, as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Dan.